Hello and welcome. My name is Dr. Kenitra Bryant, and today's Motivational AIM targets Do It the Right Way. Thanks for tuning in to the God, Me, and the Dissertation 38-part series. You are currently listening to part 19, so that means that we are at the halfway point. For those who are first-time listeners, feel free to listen to parts 1 through 18, where I've shared some insights, encouragement, and tips on getting through the dissertation phase with my own personal experiences. The motivational aim, Do It the Right Way, targets the importance of just that, doing things the right way. It really costs when we do things incorrectly, whether we do it on purpose or ignorantly. When we know better, the aim is to do better and act with wisdom. Just think about your life. When you've done things out of order, you didn't do things the right way, you didn't do things decently and in order, and what happened? There were some consequences associated with that. Even if the consequences weren't detrimental, it just could have been where you had to go back and do things right all over again. The cost associated with that was time. And when I think about me and the choices and decisions I've made, when I did not and sometimes refused to do things the right way, simple things too, it either didn't work out for me or I had to go back if the opportunity still presented itself and I had to go do things the right way. I had to go redo some stuff. And as I was redoing whatever it was, I would be thinking in my mind, man, if I would have just did this right the first time. I thought about doing it the right way, but I mean, I was just lazy. I mean, I could have did this, but I was just too stubborn. I didn't feel like doing it at the time. And that always happens. I get a revelation or I get a prompting, hey, you need to do this, do it this way. And sometimes I'm like, I think I can get away with this. It could be something small, but I'll do it my way, not following the promptings or the leadings of the Holy Spirit, or I'm just doing things out of order, just to be doing it out of order. And then I gotta go back. Only if the opportunity presents itself, I can go redo it, because sometimes those opportunities and chances are gone. They're gone. Well, you can't do redos, and that's a consequence, living in that you can't go back and fix it. Sometimes shortcuts might cut the time short in one having to do things, but if those shortcuts aren't evaluated and wisdom is applied, the shortcut might cut a person short in new experiences, new opportunities, and even new relationships. 1 Corinthians, the 14th chapter and the 40th verse states, "But all things should be done decently and in order." Now, what does decently or decent mean? It means respectable, worthy, suitable, appropriate. And what does order mean? One definition is to group things in a formal way, whether it's a sequence, a rank, or a class. But everything we do in life should be done decently and in order. Even if we miss the mark, things should be done decently and in order. For those in school or at a job, you've possibly heard bosses, supervisors, professors, and administrators talk about decency and order, how things need to be done, and the cost of doing things incorrectly. For example, for school, I don't care what grade it is. We're going back from daycare all the way to professional school where somebody is graduating with a professional degree. So we're starting off with a daycare certificate of completion to a professional degree. Every teacher from that daycare stage to professional degrees, and even certification training programs, teachers, professors, administrators, deans, they are talking about order. They put it in their curriculum, and this is how they started off, okay? So a child's in daycare, and you know, daycare has, you know, the toddlers all the way to the after-school kids. But what do they do with the children who are, say, about 2, 3, 4, 5, right before they go to kindergarten? If they have a discipline issue, if they want to enforce decency and order, you know what they do to those children? Tell them to go to timeout. Go to timeout. You're not listening. You don't push anyone. You keep your hands to yourself. Go to timeout. You see what that is? Decency and order. And those children, they will cut up for some timeout. I'm talking about cut up. They will scream, holler, kick, cry, yell. Because that timeout, it's just too much. Because in addition to that timeout, when those parents come pick them up, this is how it goes. Yeah, parents asking, how'd they do today? Yeah, they had a kind of okay day, Dad. She kicked someone today, and we had to put her in timeout a few times. Not a child looking at the parent. Parent looking at him like, you know, I'm going to tear you up when I get home. So it's timeout, snatch up, and tear up. So not a child know to go back to school, daycare, and things have to be decent and in order, not only for the daycare's sake, but for the child's sake and the parent's sake. So child got to get things right real quick. So now we move to kindergarten, okay? Child moves from daycare to kindergarten. They call it real school, you know, when you're about to go to kindergarten. You're going to real school now. You're going to the big school. You're the big five now. So what happens on the first day of kindergarten? Nearly everybody's mama, daddy, granny, aunt, godparent, guardian, pawpaw, sibling, neighbor, cousin. The kindergarten classroom is packed. Everybody needs to know who this teacher is. Who's this teacher? I'm gonna be with my baby for 8 hours. I'm gonna see who this is. Children going to little cubbies and looking around, knowing where to hang their backpack. And parents would tell them, sit down, let me take a picture of you. Take a picture with your teacher. The teacher's going around letting everybody in the class know, including the parents. So she's doing a group presentation for the kindergarten students and the parents. Let them know, this is our system on decency and order. Y'all know what that system is. That behavior chart. Y'all know what that behavior chart is? Boy, now they have it set up where I think the teacher has it where they use clothespins. But back when I was in kindergarten, the teacher had this big, big chart on a wall. It was laminated and it was broken up with everyone's name on it. And it had a pocket. Okay, so I had my square. It was a little pocket and my name was written on the pocket. But in that pocket that my name was written on, along with the other students in the class, there were some other laminated squares within the pocket. It was a red laminated square, yellow square, and a green square. Now the green square remained in front. Okay, you could see whose color was what. So the greens, everybody started off with green. Okay, shout out to the special guest in the back. But the green was in front. But if a student got outside the bounds of being decent and in order, not listening, talking too much, and all that type of stuff, the teacher would say, Kenitra, I need you to go change your color. Change your color, Kenitra. You're really talkative today. Boy, and then you had to walk over there? Oh, man, that was hard. I tried to be tough about it, but tears was coming down my face because all I was worried about was I just wanted to stay on green. I just wanted to stay on green. And then the teacher would send those little folders home with the little notes, and the parents had to sign that they saw the note. And, you know, when you're five, you're not even thinking about hiding anything the first week of school. You haven't learned the tricks yet. So, of course, the teacher, they want to follow up, you know, put on the paper.
Yeah, wasn't listening, talking today, you know. Color change. Stayed on yellow all day.
See, that kind of stuff got me in trouble. Well, I guess I got myself in trouble, but whatever. I just need to forgive that woman. It's time for me to forgive her. It's about that time. But that whole color change system is to let children know, okay, you graduated from the timeout. Now it's time for this color change, and this is letting you know you're supposed to act a certain way. You're supposed to be decent and in order when you're in this institution. It's everywhere, this decency and order, how they have stuff set up. Then you go to second to fifth grade. They stop doing that color change stuff past, you know, first grade, I think. But when you're in elementary school, second to fifth grade, you know what they start doing? An advanced version of timeout. You know what they had you do? If you acted up, had to sit against the wall and watch other children play during recess. No shade, sun beaming on your face, and you sitting there. Sit Indian style, cross your legs. And then, depending on whoever was watching the wall, whatever teacher was watching the students who were acting up, if that teacher just felt some type of way, they had the students turn and face the wall so you could even watch the children play. You had to look at a brick wall and whatever was on the side of you. If it was a leaf, a stick, some ants, dirt, you just doing something just to occupy your time, just playing with stuff. Sliding your finger against the brick wall, the little grooves. And then you have to listen to people call people's name and laugh, and you can't be a part of it. See? They're letting people know, be decent and in order. Then you jump to middle school and high school. What is it? ISS, in-school suspension. Or you expel for a few days or a few weeks. Get after-school detention, some write-ups. Teachers would call parents at the job. Oh, goodness. They call them at work. Leave voicemails. Calling people's parents' cell phone. And then you jump to college. I'm talking about undergrad, graduate school, professional school. You know how they keep students decent and in order? Kick them out. Kick them out. Academic probation. Sometimes a student has to sit out for a full year or a whole semester. And why are they doing that? To enforce decency and order. Now let's jump to the job. Work, professions, vocations, careers. You know what they do? They do some of the same thing. Write-ups, warnings, suspensions, investigations. And then fired because they want to enforce decency and order. That's how these things are set up. It's all about boundaries. That's how it is in families. Children come out the womb. They walking around, cutting up. Hey, whoa. I know you new here, but we do things the right way here. Okay? This is how it's supposed to go. Parents tell children this. Children let parents know. Grant, everybody in any relationship, there's some decency and order people have to follow or should follow. There's some boundaries that have to be put in place. Professional relationships, academic relationships, personal relationships, whatever it is. Things have to be done decently and in order, because if it's not done the right way, It's going to cost someone. It's going to cost someone if they do it the wrong way. The thing is, if we know to do or we've been taught to do things the right way, it's on us if we go outside the parameters of decency and order. And it shouldn't be a surprise that, oh, this happened to me because I did things out of order. That's what comes with it. Consequences. Anyone in school, I advise you, I don't care what level of education you are on. If you're not in school and you're working on a goal, do things or aim to do things the right way. Aim to do things the right way. Aim to do things decently and in order. When it's time to do any assignment or gather any research, do it the right way. Cite your sources. List the reference pages. If there's a thought or a statement that you got from somewhere, give those people their credit and do it the right way. There are too many resources for educators to use where they can do plagiarism checks. Do it the right way. There's nothing wrong with doing things the right way the first time. Now, another tip for those in school, get your textbooks the right way. Don't fall for the scams and the schemes. In addition to getting your textbooks the right way, get the software that comes with the textbook. Get that the right way too. Your professor might advise you to purchase a CD or a DVD that comes with the textbook because it might provide some useful material and information that will help you with the overall course and your understanding of whatever it is that you're studying. If the teacher presses for you to get that software, get it and do it the right way. If it requires you to purchase an access code, purchase the access code the right way. If it requires you to purchase a CD or DVD, USB, whatever it is, purchase those items the right way. I cannot stress that enough. Purchase the real thing. Do it the right way. And do it the right way the first time. Don't worry about other people in the class doing it a different way. And they said they have a cheaper deal and they found it this way. Okay, if they found it for a cheaper price, go investigate that. There's nothing wrong to go investigate it and analyze it. But make sure it's coming from a credible source. If it's not coming from a credible source, leave that alone. And I'm saying this because it's understandable that individuals go through different storm seasons of their life where they cannot just be spending all this money on textbooks and software that they'll never use again, and they feel that those things will not help them in the future. I mean, I can understand if it's an elective course and it's a bird watching class. If somebody's not trying to get their PhD or some certifications in bird watching, of course, they don't feel like they have any use for that. It's an elective, so why spend $500 on the textbook and, you know, some software? That makes sense. But in the event that one is working in their major area of study, where they're going to receive this degree in this particular discipline, and in this particular course, a professor is letting them know you need to get the software for this class and the textbook, or the professor lets them know you need to get either or, either get the software or the textbook. No matter what you do as a student, get the right thing the right way. If it's software, get the right software. You want to try to get it at a cheaper price, of course, but try to get the real, original software. Don't try to go to these little hacking websites and it's going to be a cheap outcome, either now or later. And I've seen students do this, where they purchase stuff, that's not real. And they clicking links and it says download. They downloading because it said download for free. And it has the title of the book and the software that the teacher told you to get downloaded. Computer messed up. Or they say that you can download it to a disk and it can be copied and this is half off. The software is $100, but this is $50 plus your student discount. We're going to bring it down to $25. Make sure to put your real name, your real address, or your bank account information on this site. And we'll download the software. Just get a little disk or a USB disk drive and it can be copied and reproduced. Somebody falls for the scheme, they fall for the scam, they put all their personal information on there. Account is hacked and nothing is on the USB or the CD. Do it the right way. And of course, there will be some or there might be some professors who will work with students. They'll let them know, okay, oh, you can't get the software? Okay, maybe I can modify some things to help y'all out. Or let me see if I can gain some temporary access key codes for y'all to utilize until y'all get the funds or the resources to do what you need to do. Some professors will work with students. But when an individual knows to do the right thing, but they won't do the right thing, consequences follow. And I remember in graduate school, there was a situation where we were advised to get the software. We were told to purchase the textbook and the software bundle. But some people didn't want to do that. So they expressed their concerns with the professor, and the professor let them know, okay, if you can't get the bundle and you can't get the textbook, make sure you get the software because you're going to need this software from this course till you graduate after you even do your research with the dissertation. You'll need this software because this software will help you out. So, but he stressed getting that software. So this is like the first 2 to 3 weeks of class because the professor is giving everybody some time for textbooks to come in before he just really jumps in with the lesson. Fast forward. The teacher's teaching now. He's not waiting for anybody. But I remember it was quite a few students letting the teacher know, you know, Professor so-and-so, we have the software, but we're just waiting for it to be downloaded because so-and-so is working with us. And what he's doing is he has the downloadable software for us to copy and paste on our desktop for our computer. So we're going to be listening to you. But if you see us get up, that means that the person who downloaded the software on my computer, they're getting somebody else's computer to do the same thing. So I think it was around 10 to 15 students who did this transaction with this person, okay? Where they brought their own personal laptop computers and whoever this was outside was putting that software on their computer and then they were paying him, okay? This boy was getting paid. He was getting paid to do this service for them. And he was always coming back every 20, 25 minutes, passing computers. That's all that was happening. He was just getting the computers, putting the software on, getting his money, and leaving. That's all he was doing. Okay? So it was a lot of activity going on at that door. Students were getting their computers back, like, okay, yeah, here it is right here. Okay, this where you go? Okay. I see it. Doc, talking to the professor. I'm in. All right. Oh, yes. Question number one. They were doing all of that. Okay. Then they start saying, I'm so glad I didn't spend all my money on that software. I'm so glad I got this download. So-and-so hooked it up, man. It works just fine, too. Yeah, I closed that and logged right back on in. It works. It does. Yeah. Now, they look like they were so happy. And I think I've talked about this same scenario or incident in one of my college success tips. I need to go find it. But the next class period was a different story. I remember coming to class and people were upset. Classmates that I've never seen come to class early were there. And they were looking for the digital downloader. Yes, they were. The software schemer. They were looking for them. And I was just sitting there looking like, oh, what's going on? Because they were upset. And they were over there talking like, yeah, I got a virus on my computer. Stuff's not working right. Some of my files deleted. I mean, I tried to call the digital downloader and he's not picking up the phone. I can't reach him. And I was over there thinking like, man, that is messed up. So other people start trailing in class saying the same thing. Y'all seen him? Where he at? Then I heard somebody say, man, something told me to just buy the right software. Ooh, if I would just listen to my first mind, I wouldn't be in this mess. That's what somebody said. And they were rowdy in class. They were rowdy. But guess what? They were never going to find the digital downloader or the software schema because he was not enrolled in our course. So he knew not to come, even if they had his number. He wasn't going to show up. And a lot of people had to get their computers repaired, spending money on repairs. Not only did they have to deal with a financial setback, not saying it set them back permanently in their finances, I'm just saying it's an expense that they really didn't even have to pay. That set them back. And now they were set back in class because now they had to order the software, go the right way, do things the right way, and wait for the software to be mailed to them because things were not next day. And then they had to get the software and then start doing the assignments that were due weeks ago, weeks prior. The teacher kept going. He kept going. He didn't wait, even though it was a mess. He was just, oh, he did that? Oh, digital downloader did that? My gosh, software schema did y'all that way. I thought I saw him earlier running up out of here. He was walking pretty quick. You know what the teacher kept doing? Teaching. He wasn't worried about that. And that course we were in was necessary for the structure of the research and statistics component of the dissertation. That's why it's important to do things the right way, decently and in order. When the Holy Spirit prompts you to do things the right way, do it. Just do it. Okay? And the scripture I would like to leave you with is 1 Corinthians, the 14th chapter and the 40th verse that states, but all things should be done decently and in order. This is very important, so aim to do it. Thanks for tuning in. Visit drkenitrabryant.com to download the God, Me, and the Dissertation 38-Day Devotional. On the site, you can order inspirational apparel, and you have the option to connect with me on Instagram at aimtowardsthetarget and at college_success_tips. Enjoy your day. Thank you for including me into your day. Peace and God bless.